Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Hey, Right Here in Mass listeners, joining me here today is one of the best people I know, Liz Teresa, who is the brain and beauty behind the Massachusetts Business Network website, along with her team. Everything you see here, our website, branding, functionality, and more, became a reality because of their talent, so it's my honor to have Liz on the show. Liz helps entrepreneurs find clarity and market themselves online with confidence. She's been in business for more than a decade, creating powerful, high-converting websites, memorable brands, and coaching business owners on how they can be more visible online. Liz wants every entrepreneur to rise and be the star of their own business because, let's face it, a big break isn't something you wait for, it's something you make. Be sure to listen to Liz on Biz, her Forbes acclaimed podcast, every Monday for fresh, inspiring, and often hilarious, I can attest to that, stories of running a business. Liz, thank you for being our first guest. And so let's dive in and have you share with our listeners who you are and what you do.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm going to nudge my mic. There we go. Closer to my face. I'm so excited. That was such a nice intro. I appreciate it. So you guys, thanks for listening to us today. My name is Liz. Like Ashley said, I have been in business making websites and building brands for a while now. This is my 11th year in business this year at the time of this recording. And so there's a lot to celebrate. And Ashley, I think you're creating something really, really cool and special, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Awesome. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners the importance of specifically having a website for being a Massachusetts business owner. Because that's one of the things that people aren't always sold on, is knowing that they need a website, they kind of need a little bit of nudging. And so I'd love for you to talk about that topic with being able to, as a local business, have that online presence.
Right now, I feel like there's too many ways to have a website, even if you don't want to hire me. And if you don't, I feel like you're missing out in life. But if you do want to make one yourself, there's no lack of tools to get started online. And the importance is there because an Instagram account or a Facebook page, these things are not enough, because you're basically placing all your cookies in one basket. Facebook decides that they don't like your deodorant, you're deleted, you don't have a page anymore. Instagram doesn't like how you smell, gone. And hopefully you smell good and this won't happen to you, but they can pick any reason, is really what I'm getting at, for you to not exist. Also, these are just social media pages. Then if you're only on Instagram and you're like, that's enough, I don't need a website, then you're telling me that everyone in the world who does not have an Instagram account is not your ideal customer. That's dumb. I don't care who you are. Yeah. I don't care if you sell acrylic nails and you just think you're thinking of all the Glamazons that are on there. There's plenty of Glamazons that only use Facebook, and there's plenty that only use Pinterest, and there's plenty that just use the internet like a normal person. And so I think when we miss the point about having a website is we're basically saying you can show up to my house at any time for a party, even if I leave my kids' toys all over the ground. And that's really what it's like. It's like you're inviting the world over when your house isn't ready, or you need to drive to LA, but you only have a quarter tank of gas. Like, what are you doing? That's it. Why don't you just set your money on fire? Go do it.
Yep. Waste. And as someone who has hired Liz and her team, I don't know, this is probably the fourth time, two dash of social rebrands, soon to CEO, and now Massachusetts Business Network. Like, we see the value in having an optimized website that actually works. So not something that just looks pretty, but is actually functional, and being able to have your own little corner of the internet that you can use to be able to build a customer base, be able to convert the people who are interested in your products or services, and really establish that thought leadership. So that leads me to a question that I have for you, Liz, is that knowing that you do work with a lot of people in Massachusetts, for someone who has a local clientele, would you say that there's anything specific that they should have on their website in order to reach that very specific location, or is it kind of just all across the board?
This is such a good question. You guys, no more keyword stuffing. Stuffing at Thanksgiving is delicious. Stuffing keywords into your website is actually bad SEO. And if you hire an SEO copywriter, they'd be like, excuse me, Liz, according to my calculations, keywords still matter. Yes, they matter. However, comma, they are not the number one thing that Google looks at. In fact, the number one thing that you should be focusing on from a search perspective in attracting more local Massachusetts-based customers is your Google My Business page and making sure that you are collecting reviews, that you're actually using it as an extension of your brand. You can actually post updates and promotions on Google My Business, and it increases your likelihood of appearing in search results. And also having a business listing on Massachusetts Business Network, listing your business on Massachusetts oriented websites is really important. And then focusing on PR, local news, local PR. How can I get into Wicked Local? How can I get into the Patriot Ledger and so on? Because when those websites link to you, Google is going to increase your relevance for the local region you're trying to increase your rank in, right? Because they're seeing you hang out with all the cool people at the cool Massachusetts table, the Wicked Awesome. Mm-hmm. That could be another name for a second show, the Wicked Cool Massachusetts table. It's not really rolling off the tongue.
You can't sit with us.
You can't sit with us.
You mentioned a good point here, though, about PR. And even though, just because I know you so well, even though PR isn't something that your team offers, it is something that you've done for clients and have done really well with it. And so I'd love to hear like what you'd recommend for people who are kind of doing that DIY PR type stuff of being able to just get seen in that local press and be able to take advantage of it.
Don't underestimate the power of a press release. I think that people think that PR and the do-it-yourself PR isn't going to work. But like, if you're not in a position to retain a wonderful press team, because those are expensive. I'm talking like, if you get a good PR person, you're spending at least upwards of $1,000 a month. And if you can't stomach that, there's a website where you can actually generate a press release, and you can get there by just typing press release generator. And I think the website is called like the B. Myers press release generator. It's going to look like a website from 1992. Don't judge them. They didn't hire me. However, they have a very great fill in the blank exercise for generating and writing your own press release. And then once you have this, news outlets love that because it's a digestible format that they can either republish word for word. The article is done for them. Or they can take it and understand the hook. Like what is your story? Because with whatever's going on in your business, and if nothing's going on, maybe we should talk about that, but with whatever promotion is going on. So like for my 11-year anniversary, I'm writing something that's like, oh, Liz Teresa, local business owner, Massachusetts business owner, Norwell business owner. If you actually stuff in your town, local woman-owned Norwell business owner. See, that's very enticing. Now I'm like, oh, now I want to know who she is. That's if you're thinking about a headline. Celebrates 11 years in business, making websites in a male-dominated industry. That's kind of, well, you know what? I'd print that. So write something that's print-worthy. Yes. Use your hook, capitalize it, and then honestly, disseminate it. So I have a list that I keep for my clients' use, but also my use whenever we have news to announce. We have like a list of places to send it that is all connected to local news. And when you pitch to television, there is a different strategy I would probably recommend for DIY PR. And there are other, of course, PR companies that could give other advice. But this is to say, don't underestimate the power of PR, because PR has the magic of exposing you to a new audience in a way that makes you look fancy. Right. And it lasts for a really long time. And it gives you SEO juice, search juice, Google juice.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, like, have you found that the PR is also helpful for sharing on your website, like being able to repurpose elsewhere?
Oh yeah. And I think that there's never a lack of content to leverage when you start investing in a PR strategy, especially even appearing on this show. There's so many ways to dissect and repurpose a podcast. And I think that we should recycle our plastic bottles, but we should also recycle our marketing efforts too. So like when I come on a show like this, or if you as a business owner are lining up opportunities, definitely thinking about ways of syndicating and reusing what you have is better than staying up and burning the midnight oil, writing new things or trying to sound interesting.
Right. And you also mentioned podcasting, which I want to mention because You are a gem with podcasting. You love being on other people's podcasts. And one of the best things about podcasts is that you can just reach people across the state, across the country, across the world. Mm. But one thing I'd love for us to really focus on is how you can use podcasting for a really localized region. If you want to be able to either have a podcast like this one that has a certain geographic listenership, or if you want to be able to get on podcasts that have that certain geographic like listenership.
I think that this is such a good question because people sometimes will be like, well, why should I have a podcast? I'm just this pet shop in Duxbury. I'm just kidding about Duxbury, but like, I'm just this little thing, you know? And I think that that's like the worst thing you can do is when you just all over your business, because having a niche podcast, it can still expose you to a highly engaged listenership. Because I would say Liz on Biz, although I do have great listenership, it is a niche-y kind of show because it's sharing entrepreneurial and thought leader stories and it's comedic, it's funny, and it's fast. It's 30 minutes every Monday, right? And so when you think about my show, it's not the same people that would listen to Entrepreneur on Fire, where they just go and listen to talking heads being like, you need a funnel. I'm Entrepreneur on Fire. John Lee Dumas is not inviting me now that he heard this. Oh no. But listen, like, and so like, if you are this small business, don't underestimate the power of a podcast. I've been on shows that are as simple, Ashley, honestly, like where you sit down, like I'm going to tell you, I was on a show. It was a local show. I'm not going to disclose who it was, but all they do to produce a show is sit with you. They do it in person, but you can easily use Zoom. They hit record. They do the intro. They even read the sponsor. And then after they hit record on the other end, it goes straight to iTunes. They do not hire an editor. Oh, yeah. They don't even care, but they have great listenership and it's a local Boston show. Okay. Yeah. So like there are local podcasts you can sink your teeth into. But I think, Ashley, even your show, this is filling a gap because like, I think that a lot of people are going to want a Massachusetts-based show. And actually, like, if you think about pet shops, not a lot of people sell pets. I think that that's ethically, whatever. People have problems with it. So I chose a controversial one. But like, if you can imagine a South Shore pet cast, that'd be cute.
Right.
It'd be so cute. Who wouldn't want to listen to that? It's adorable. So just
exactly.
Go with it.
And to really hone in on what you said, because it's so true, like being able to really narrow down who you're speaking to and creating content that resonates with those people will end up really getting maybe not necessarily the biggest listenership, but a very engaged listenership. And I know that you'll agree with me on this standpoint, but I think an engaged listenership is better than a big one. And so it's really helpful for just being able to cultivate those relationships and just really position yourself as an expert.
I have more people that listen weekly than drop-ins. You're always going to have your core weekly listenership. And those are your super fans. And if you really allow yourself to niche, you're not closing doors. You're really opening windows.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for you to believe if you're a business owner listening, because you're like, I want to serve everybody. I want to groom all the dogs. Now we're a dog groomer. I want to groom everyone. I don't want to just groom Bichon Frise. I don't even know if that's a dog though, right? Okay. Just jump into your niche. And the more pointed you are with your niche, the stronger your language, the stronger your branding. And oh my God, I want to listen. Bichon Frise. I want to listen. Not even French. Nope. Is that a French dog? Bichon Frise.
Might be.
That could be your soundbite from this that you can repurpose. MBN
Bloops. People will love that.
Instead of bloopers, you could be Bloops with a Z.
Oh, I like that idea. Mm. I do like that idea. You did mention something that made me think of something else. And it made me think of this because I do see quite a few of these throughout the South Shore specifically, but magazines. There's quite a few magazines for the South Shore, for coastal towns themselves, even just business focused ones. And so you've been in a magazine. I think you've helped a few clients get in magazines. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your perspective on how they can help local people who are looking to kind of get that awareness within a certain geographic location and if it does truly help with that.
Definitely. And I'll tell you, I was recently in South Shore Living magazine and a woman in my Zumba class, because when I go to Zumba, I'm not like all done up. Like I'm very like an ordinary, I'm a normal person. I very much blend. I'm even subdued. No, that's not true, but I'm there, right? And a woman in my Zumba class was like, oh my God, I saw you in the magazine. I didn't know you owned a business. And it's like all of a sudden that felt so cool. Like to have somebody spot me, recognize me and assign, like associate my brand with me. So PR has that really cool effect. And I think local magazines can certainly contribute to it. I think it's always a great investment in time to reach out and facilitate relationships with the people that work at those magazines, because when they start to recognize your name, they're going to be more likely to include you. And also another way to get into local magazines is to attend local networking events, because when you're out with people, sometimes there's people there that take pictures and that's a good way to kind of sneak your way in. But if you ever consider doing something like that, that is only going to get more eyes on you. And what I like to also say in business and marketing is that doing something different continually will challenge you, but it will also expand your audience. Because if you keep doing the same thing, I'm posting Instagram stories every day. Well, that's great, because you're going to have an engaged Instagram story audience. But if that's all you ever do and you don't break pattern, you're losing the potential locally of all the different people that you're allowed to reach. And it can be really powerful if you don't do it very often. Even doing it once, you can get recognized at Zumba. Somebody could buy something. I mean, I got a couple clients actually from doing that local magazine thing I did.
Which is exciting. And it makes me think, for people who might not know this, how do you determine which opportunity is actually worth your time and worth your effort to pursue? Because sometimes it can almost feel like paralysis analysis. Or analysis paralysis, whatever that phrase is, where there's so many different things to consider and options to try, and you're kind of juggling all these balls in the air, wondering which one is actually a good fit for you to dedicate your time and potentially even money towards. So with someone looking to pursue these advertising opportunities or visibility opportunities locally, what would you say is a really good process for being able to help narrow down which one they should go forward with?
So I'm going to sound a little crazy when I say it, but I actually say go for the low hanging fruit. Not that there's crumb bum magazines around here, but there are like smaller niche opportunities to get visibility. Go for those first to get some quick wins, because the quick wins will build your confidence, and it'll also give you something to show as you grow your catalog of things you've been featured in. And then as you grow your catalog of things you've been featured in, it gives you more to pitch with. So when it comes time to pitch to the South Shore Living magazine, because I wouldn't consider them low, I would consider them, people read it. So they're up there. People like them. Cape and Plymouth Business is another great magazine. It's like a paper newspaper material. Love them. I haven't been in there, but I'd like to. They do a 40 under 40. I only got a few more years. I really got to work on that. But like thinking about the higher echelon ones, start with the babies and work your way up to the fancy ones, because as they see, it was like once for me, it was like, I got a bunch of things. I got Forbes eventually, and which is a national, of course, but once I got Forbes featured, it opened up a lot more possibility. So it's like, don't underestimate the baby ones, that they will take a little time, but if you are starting out in the PR arena with the PR efforts, don't underestimate the power of a little PR.
Yes. And I fully agree with that, especially because sometimes, back to the point that we were just talking about, is that sometimes the smaller publications or smaller media companies have more of an engaged readership or listenership, which makes me think of when I was on, I think it was last summer, I was on a local radio show, and I ended up getting a client from that who listened to me on the radio because he's been an advertiser on it for 5 years. And so it's like situations like that, you don't want to just kick it to the side because you don't think it's worth it. Like to your point, exactly, Liz, be able to take advantage of those smaller opportunities because they can end up bringing you a lot further in the long run.
That's true. And I remember listening to your spot, wasn't it WATD?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that. And I was like, oh, I listened at home. I was excited.
Yep. That was the one. And then also too, what I did want to mention, because with Liz on Biz being Forbes acclaimed, One of the reasons why that came to fruition with the fact that your podcast is awesome, but it's also the fact that you had networked with the writer who wrote about it. And so that shows the power of networking too, with being able to meet all of these different people who can open up additional doors for you and you might not even know it.
Interesting that you say that, because I've met people that have a podcast where they start a podcast specifically to meet their guest and network with the guest to open up other possibilities, because we all know business is people. Sales is really people. Sales comes down to creating relationships. So if you're looking for a fast way to grow your business and you don't want to just network all the time, podcasting is fantastic, because you get to meet people. It's fun, you know, if talking comes naturally to you. I mean, some people are better at speaking than writing, you know? So I think you've hit on a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes me think about too, because I know that you've been personally getting into more networking opportunities, how you go about, again, selecting the right ones that you should or shouldn't attend with having such a busy schedule. That's a big problem or struggle I see a lot of local businesses facing, is wanting to attend all these local events now that the world is opening up, but really needing to hone in on which events are actually a right fit for them because of the very limited time as business owners we all have. So what's been your process like for determining which luncheons you should be attending, or dinners, or anything like that?
That's a really good question. So for folks listening, I have a toddler as well. So he's turning 3. So he's bigger than a toddler too. He's massively tall. And he's wild, and he requires a lot of time and attention. And so I hate leaving to go to a networking event, because it's so, I just love them. I'm attached, right? So I'm very selective, like you said. And part of my selection process is as simple as, what is the one that is closest that has the most people? So I think about the drive time. Coming from the South Shore to go to the city all the time is a real pain. And I really only do it selectively. I selectively go to the city. I'm going to it's an entrepreneur brunch. Maybe you want to come, I'll invite you to it, but it's coming up, and I selected it because I'm like, well, it's a brunch, so at least there's breakfast. I love breakfast. And it's a time that's like, my son's usually busy with something else. So for me, I do it I'm strategic about family life balance and I'm about spending as much time as possible with my son. But I think for other people that don't have families, you could look at it, you could be even more strategic than me, because I'm like thinking about time efficiency. How long am I going to be there? How far away is it? How many people? But like, you could go straight to surrounding yourself with people that you want to be surrounding yourself with. Look at the guest list, be like, oh, that person's going to be there. That person's in the media. Oh, that person's going to be there. That's an ideal client that I want to meet, so they know I exist. And then when it's time for them to buy something, they know where to go to buy it.
You just brought up an excellent point that I actually just heard for the first time a few weeks ago, which I never even thought of, but it's looking at the guest list before you attend a networking event. If it's something that's public information that's listed on the website, or if you could ask the event organizer, that's a great way for getting to see what types of people will be there and kind of give you a scope of who you want to meet and what types of relationships you could possibly build from it.
Also too, I mean, some people do find it's a waste of time to go when you already know everybody. So like, and sometimes I'm guilty of going, even though I know I'll know a good amount of people there, but it's like, I also sometimes like to go socially because I have friends that live far away. So if I'm going kind of more for fun, I usually get a client anyway, because I'm out and just act like myself and people seem to be okay with it. And you know, then people will jive with me. When you show up as you, then it's better attracting good, energetic connections and relationships. But no, I love that. I think certain things, I mean, on Facebook too, when you click on the going, you can see who's coming sometimes, depending on privacy settings too. So in case you get shy about asking people.
Yeah. And that's really smart. And you also mentioned something important, which is still going, even if you know everyone, because what often happens is that you might know everyone, but then there are some people that you haven't seen in a long time, and it jogs their memory of like, oh, wait, I've been meaning to reach out to you because I need a website, or I was speaking with someone who needs a website and I referred you. And so it helps to still be top of mind for people you already know, because those relationships can really end up holding more weight because they've known you for quite some time now, and they can act as a great referral source if they're not becoming a client or customer themselves directly.
don't even underestimate the number of people that lurk your brand. I mean, you say this all the time about social media, but it's like the number of people that will lurk on your Facebook or Instagram, lurk on your website. They don't buy anything. They're not cold leads, guys. These are actually warm leads that are super shy. Okay. And the, you sometimes meet the lurkers out at these networking events and they're like, oh, there she is. I've been meaning to talk to her. I went to one today and a woman actually said, oh, I've been meaning to talk to you, but like, I feel so weird and I haven't reached out. And I was like, oh my God, here I am. Very normal. I promise.
Yeah. Mostly, and it's the best feeling when people say that. I've been meaning to reach out to you. I know exactly who you are.
Yeah. It's such a good feeling because it's so validating because sometimes we feel like marketing and PR can feel like you're yelling into a void if you don't get a ton of feedback sometimes, but just because you don't get as many comments or likes or ever, however you're measuring yourself, never measure your worth by social currency, but we do. No. But never underestimate the people that don't respond.
Yep. They're exactly. There. Cause we've both been in situations where people have booked consults with us and they're local people. And they say, I've known you for 3 years and I'm just finally now scheduling this call because I'm finally ready. And so exactly to your point, like don't underestimate or kind of like stay with that tunnel vision of only looking at the people who are directly engaging with you because there's so much going on in the background or outside of that view that people are really interested in who you are and what you offer.
Totally. I love that. It's a good reminder to all of us.
Absolutely. And I'd love to ask you, Liz, because this relates to being a business owner in Massachusetts specifically. So for someone who's looking to start a business in Massachusetts, or maybe they already own one and are growing and scaling it, what piece of advice would you give to them?
Ooh, okay. Don't be afraid of the cost of living here. It's high, but it's not insurmountable. I like to tell people that when I started my business, I was 22 and I had $130,000 in student loan debt. I lived with my parents. My fiance at the time, my fiance had got fired. My business had been making $15,000 a year. It was my first year. Okay. Things change. Every stage of life, including starting a business, is a temporary stage of life. Puberty is temporary. These things are hairy situations, but you get through it and you come out the other side all blossomy and nice, right? So yeah, my business started at like 15,000. And now I'm like into the mid six figures. Mm-hmm. And granted, it's been 11 years, but like I got there faster than you'd think I did. I mean, I would say I made like a living wage by 3 years in. For me, it was pretty moderate. Like, so I would say I was a little slower than some of these other people because I feel like sometimes now I blink and people are like, I made $150,000 this month.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's not everybody, guys. I'm like a very normal growth. So I was like 15,000, 30,000, and then it was like 42,000. And then it was like 67. And then it was like 89. And I'm actually probably remembering this pretty close. 101, 102. 150, 115, 200, 300. And so you guys, it happens over time.
Right.
And just try to be patient, but that you can do the impossible. The resources are there for you. Massachusetts Business Network lets you list for free. This is one resource, but like there's also SCORE, there's E4ALL. There are so many things at your disposal that somebody like Ashley can connect you to resources to make your idea happen. Quit too early. Everybody quits. Everything in life is hard, but things that are hard are right.
Excellent advice. Before we wrap up the show, Liz, I'd love for you to share your favorite Massachusetts-based business. So you can either share one, you can share a handful if you can't decide between a few, whatever it may be. As you know, with Massachusetts Business Network, our goal is to really bring visibility to local businesses and lift them up. So feel free to share what that favorite might be with our audience.
Oh, this is like very hard. Oh my God. Okay. I can do a few. Yeah.
Oh, you can do a few. Absolutely.
I love my salon where I get my hair done and I've never given them a shout out before, but I've always had a great experience at Ambrosia Salon and Day Spa, and they're located in Hanover. Highly recommend my salon. One of my favorite marketing agencies is Dash of Social. Ashley would never give herself a shout out. So I'm going to give Ashley's marketing agency
a shout out.
Dash of Social, based in Marshfield. Fantastic company. So that's I did one B2C service, one B2B service. Now I'm going to do
A nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
That's You've had idea. A few clients of those.
I know. So I'm going to actually pick Learn to Cope. They're a fantastic nonprofit that it's actually learn2cope.org. If you want to go to their website, they're based in Massachusetts. They've appeared on national television, CNN, as recent as this past summer. And what they do in their organization is they provide resources, information, support groups for individuals and family members who have somebody in their family that suffers from addiction. And so it's for support with addiction, family members, addiction recovery. Amazing. Love them. Wonderful people. And very happy and proud that they're from the Bay State. And people might not know that because they have such a national footprint. It's really cool.
Awesome. And now to wrap things up, I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online. So if they want to follow you, ask you questions, even just say hello, I want to make it easy for them to do so.
Yes, you guys, I'm at Liz Teresa everywhere. It's LizTheresa. Also LizTeresa.com. I have a free copywriting class at freecopyvideo.com, which is pretty easy to remember. And then I have a free visibility cheat sheet you can get at cheatsheet.LizTeresa.com. And yeah, anything you want to say though, I'm a nice, relatively nice person. You can always say hi.
And don't forget to tune in to Liz on Biz.
Liz on Biz every week, everywhere you listen to your podcast, Liz on Biz. You guys will love it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Liz. It was my honor to have you as our very first guest on Right Here in Mass.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.